Hello and welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Thank you all for tuning in with us tonight. I know that there is a great ball game going on these days, and people are tuned into it, and Memphis Grizzlies is a part of it, so I know that a lot of our people here are probably tuned in to that, but I'm hopeful. See that we have a lot of people calling in, so I'm hopeful and grateful at the same time. So thank you all for tuning in with us tonight. The chat line is open. And let me just check and make sure. Yep, we do have some people out there as well. So I just want to remind you, for those of you who are listening online, you are able to chat with us online. So you can submit your questions or comments right there, and I'll be checking that periodically to get your comments and or questions. If you're listening by phone, you do have to select the number one only if you desire to speak with us, the guest or myself. So only select the number one if you do have a question or comment. The way that we will identify you is I will provide the area code that you are calling from and the last four digits, again, that of the number that you're using to call in tonight. So I'll provide your area code and the last four digits of your number. I do want to remind you all, we're going to move pretty quickly into tonight's show, but I do want to, again, just continue to remind you all about the trash can, and I'll continue to remind people because we do have new listeners all the time, and we have many people that listen to the archived shows. So, again, just bear with me as I continue to mention the trash can. But what we ask for our new listeners and the people that have been with us for a while as well, just continue to move your trash can. And what that means is just move it from one location to another, preferably in your kitchen or a location that you often visit to put trash in that can. Move the trash can and then determine how often you return to its old location, or monitor how many times you return to that old location. And as you do that, be mindful that, or have that be a reminder for you, that the mind does keep up with what we do. Those small things, even such as trash, as where you put your trash, the mind does keep up with that. And you'll see that because you'll automatically go back to its old location. So remember to do that. And monitor it. Make it a fun process. I want to provide a very quick update for those of you who were on when we had the young lady or the young child, Robin Edwards. We have had much progress, or her mom has had so much progress since the show. Even the night of the show, she received a call from a very, very important person, very important to this case, or to her case. And so she received a call late that night that will hopefully change the course that they are going. So continue to pray for that mom and her family. And if you have not signed the petition, please remember to do that. And you can go to change.org and you enter in Robin's name, and it's R-O-B-Y-N Edwards. It's her last name. And you can also put her mom's name, which is Beverly, but you can do Robin Edwards and hit Idaho, and that will come up. And just as a quick reminder, she's the young girl that suffered a stroke at the age of 13 due to some medication. So please support that, because it could be your child. It could be you. So support. If you have not signed that petition, please do so. And I have posted the details out on the Blog Talk site. The notes are under that show, so you can see that information online. So that's what we have there, just some great positive. And it has not stopped there. I don't want to give out too much. I want to have them back on and kind of give you an update maybe in a week or so, maybe the end of the month. We'll just have them on for a few minutes to give a brief update, but some very, very positive feedback since last week's show. I want to go ahead and have introduce our guest. Courtney Watson is going to be on with us tonight, and this is a very different topic, title for us for the Butterfly Evolution show. So, and this came about because I read a posting or a writing that Courtney posted on Facebook, and she always has interesting topics or writings out that she posts. So I came across this writing that Courtney posted, and it kind of started a conversation and some great comments and feedback to it. So I'm going to let Courtney introduce herself, and then Courtney is going to also read that article that she posts. So, Courtney, we'll let you introduce yourself, and then I have a few things I want to bring in before you read that article. So go ahead and introduce yourself, and then I'll read a few things, and then I'll bring you back in to read the article. Courtney, you're on.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Courtney Watson. I am currently a senior at the University of Memphis, majoring in English. I'm 21, and I'll be 22 at the end of this month.
Okay. And see, I didn't know you were majoring in English.
Really?
That's new to me. That explains why you do so much writing.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed reading and writing, so I figured why not major in English? And it can be a pretty flexible major. You know, you can go into different fields with it, so why not?
Great. Okay, well, as I said, this topic is different for me, for Butterfly Evolution, but it's very enlightening, and I think it's one that we need to talk about in a very open manner, in a very loving way, in a way that we work to understand each other. Women understand other women, men understand women, and vice versa. So I think it's just the appropriate time to talk about it. But the topic, tonight's topic is, are black women too independent? So that's a question. So we want to know your thoughts and comments tonight. I'm going to go ahead, Courtney, and I'm going to let you read that, and then I want to come back, and I'm going to give the definition, the book definition of independent. So Courtney's going to share with you the writing that drew my attention to have us here tonight. So you have open floor, Courtney.
Okay. Why are black women so independent? This question has been repeatedly asked and wrongfully answered by many. People have tried to compare this topic to the race of other women by arguing that women who aren't black are the total opposite. But you have to keep in mind that slavery and simply being black played significant roles in the destruction of black families. For years, black women were repeatedly raped and beaten by their slave masters, and her husband could not help her. If he tried to help her, he would have been killed for trying to protect his wife. And you can imagine how less of a man he must have felt in that situation. And the trend after slavery, it continued when the rise of the KKK began. The KKK, they raided black homes, black people's homes, and repeated the same acts as the slave masters. And sometimes during these nightly house raids, the men were dragged from their homes to be beaten, shot to death, lynched, burned alive, and many other horrific acts of inhumane treatment occurred in front of the wife and children. By taking the men from the family, this left the woman alone, and this also became known as the norm within the black community. Black women have subconsciously been taught that we don't need a man because we became conditioned to the absence of men in the household. Because of this, many women have taken on the attitude of, I don't need a man, I can do it all by myself, as far as raising kids and things like that. And it has destroyed many families. And again, with the attitude of, you know, I can do it all by myself, or it's all about me, or I'm going to do me, these types of attitudes over years has all been in result of the past history of what has happened within the black community, moreover with the black women, the separation.
Okay. I think there's so much to be learned with women. I think because there's so many races and so many different cultures, and oftentimes people really just make it black and white. But mm-hmm. I have friends of all races, And oftentimes we realize that we go through the same things. And oftentimes I realize that some of the responses from my white female friends or Asian friends, their responses to some of the things are just as mine would be. Maybe sometimes a little toned down and sometimes a little toned up. So, number one, I hate the fact that society has gotten us to a point where we start to look at independence being racially divided, so to speak. So I want to, in talking about that, I want to define independent. And there's three that I want to read. Not controlled by another. This is in politics, free from authority, control, or domination of somebody or something else, especially not controlled by another state or organization and able to self-govern. Number two, a second definition, able to function by self, able to operate alone because not dependent on somebody or something else, because they're not dependent on somebody or something else, I'm sorry. And a third one, self-supporting, not forced to rely on another for money or support. So if we look at just the definition alone, and if you think about, for me, if you equate that to even bringing that into a family concept, it almost immediately sets about division, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So just being, that's why it's so important to kind of look up the meaning of words, to take it a bit further. Words that mean the same as independent, self-governing, self-determining, self-regulating, free, liberated, or free-thinking, open-minded, or unconventional. So those are some of the things that, some of the words that mean the same as independent. I liked the free, I liked free-thinking because They fit. They seem to be okay in that sense because we all need to be free in our minds, free in living and free in being happy and all that in this life, and free to think with respect, you know, free to agree to disagree and vice versa, particularly in the setting of a relationship. So I wanted to just go over that real brief before going into it, so you'll have a mindful concept of the meaning of independent. Let's go over some of the things because I don't want to lose any time, Courtney. If you have to get off, let's just go deep into, and then I can always circle back to my own personal thoughts and opinions here. But let's go back and pull some of the things out of your writing. Number one, going back to for years, how society has, again, with black men, women, and again, usually it's black and white here. So that's usually what society is saying, that we as black women are different. And I feel that independent to most also equates to angry, black women being angry. Particularly, to take it further, not needing a man. I consistently hear that from a good number of women, and I also hear friends saying that their friends are saying that as well. So you're so right. So let's start with those two things first. Let's start with the don't need a man first. Why do you feel and I know you kind of expressed that in the writing, but let's elaborate on that a bit more. Why do you feel that we've gotten to the point, or black women that have, we're to the point where most black women feel like they don't need a man and they can survive?
Well, again, going through history, a lot of women, more of a black women, have grown up in households where the presence of a man was absent. So they became used to that. And also, originally, you know, women were not allowed to work. And once we were allowed to work with the help of the feminist movement, that kind of pushed the need for black men aside as well. When black women were allowed to earn money and work, you know, it was like no need for the man. in a way. Like, I can do this all by myself. I don't need you for this because I can do this myself. And, yeah, I think those are the major things with that, the whole attitude of that.
Right. And to add to that, and I think what you're saying as well, the absence of the male figure, I'll say the male role model, the male figure in the African woman's life has become so rare in our society. And that's for a number of reasons, that we can take that back to slavery as well, and some of it choosing, making bad choices as well, and getting caught up in this society and what society tells a black man that he is. Because let's face it, and let's just keep it real, the black male has a lot to deal with. If looking at women, how we have become financially, many women are and have become very independent. For the most part. But when you look into the absence of fathers, of those women growing up with fathers in the home, being able to see and communicate and learn and grow and feel that love that a woman needs from a father, we have to relate it back to the absence of those fathers. I know for me, there were two men in my life that I remember, as I reflected on the show today, that I remember saying, you know, never get yourself in a situation where you have to be dependent upon a man and all those things. So I heard that more so from one of them than the other, but both of them in different ways and at different times. But what was interesting and what I thought about today is both of those men, my personal opinion is that both of their wives were totally dependent upon them, in my opinion. But they did a good job with providing and being there as a husband. So it was interesting that the people that told that to me or advised me to make sure that you're independent and you grow up and be able to take care of yourself and all these things. So I'm not real sure how my mind took that in or perceived it. However, very interesting, again, one of those men told me that I was too independent and I needed to tone it down a bit a couple of years ago. So one of those people, one of those same men told, you know, said, maybe you just need to tone it down a little bit. And I said, I don't know how to do that. I don't know why I have to pretend not to be independent. But I think we were talking about two different types of independence. So really, it's really necessary to define independence and make sure, because once you get it into, you were going to say something, Courtney, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just saying I definitely agree, which is why I'm glad you spoke about the three different definitions of independency. But I think a lot of people are more of a stuck on the last one you mentioned, the last definition. And,
And I think in relationships, especially families where you have the wife and husband structure, in any family, in any relationship, whether it's a black woman, white woman, Asian woman, Chinese, whatever, in any relationship, if you are number three, if you feel like the independence, I'm self-supporting, not forced to rely on another for money or support, if you look at it that way, again, in a sense, you're going to eventually, if not right away, it leads you to destruction, I feel, because you're already creating a division. Whereas if you're in a family structure, wherever you are, each of you are, it should be a team. You should be, in some sense, dependent upon your mate, because what if you get sick? You know, you should look at it like that. You know, if I get sick, if my income goes away, if I lose my job, you're in a relationship, a partnership. So we tend to forget about that until we can't forget about it. So it all depends on how you look at being independent and how you carry that over in your relationship. That's where I think it becomes an issue, particularly with men being men. We're just designed differently. You know, the way we think, men want to be the providers. They are made to be to be and want to be those providers. So when they feel like they're not, some men say they're okay with it, but I think that's when a woman does a really good job with making that man still feel like, hey, you're my number one. You are my provider. I do need you and want you, so to speak. So it all depends mm-hmm. on how you look at it.
Yes, that is very true. And that attitude, it does have to be adjusted when you get into a relationship with a man. And you have to have, I guess, your agreements. You know, you have to speak about things, or what he's going to handle or what you're going to handle, you know, financial responsibility in a relationship. You know, some type of agreement, because my parents, they're married and, you know, both of them work. And they have an agreement of what she handles and what he handles. And I guess he handles the more manly type of things, you might say, you know, the house note or utility bills, things like that, or while she may handle smaller things such as the cable or groceries, things like that.
Right, right. It has to be some type of understanding and awareness in that respect. As well in any relationship. And that's why I'm so glad we're talking about this, because it really does not, when you get down to the root of it, being independent, we have independent women of all races. It's just mm-hmm. that I think being an independent black woman, I feel like many people, they look at it in a different aspect. It becomes different for whatever reason. It goes back to your article. Let's see, what part was that? That women that are not black are the total opposite. And that's not true. You know, but there is a perception of that we're different. There's a perception that women of other races put up with more than we do. I hear that all the time. I hear that in every situation or every conversation that I get in about races and things like that, especially with dating outside of the race. You know, there's this perception that black males date outside of their race because the females of another race will put up with more than a black woman would. So,
and can I say something about that?
Sure.
I've talked to people about this. I think that is a bad way to go about a relationship or finding true love, when you want to base it on how much can I get over on this person with a put up with, you know, your crap about, you know, certain things, bossing you around or talking down on you. That goes back again to people having different definitions of being independent and things. And I want to talk about an example of a couple who came into my job, my store, a few weeks ago. Do we have time for that?
Yeah,
okay. It was a young couple, maybe late 20s, early 30s. They were a white couple, and they were not from Memphis. They were just here for the Grizzlies game. And it was a very rainy day, so they came in to buy, she needed tennis shoes because she had on some, like, sandals. And he was in there. He was, like, rushing her and, like, come on, you need to buy this, and, you know, just rushing her. And he was like, what kind of idiot comes to Memphis without sneakers? And, you know, she was being indecisive and trying to decide what she wants. And he was just going off and using all types of profanity and saying very cruel things to her. And it didn't seem to bother her at all. She was she was actually apologizing to me and my coworker, like, sorry, you know. And he just eventually, like, walked off and left, and she had to kind of catch up with him. But to hear him talk to her like that, and for her, it seemed like nothing to her to hear that, you know, coming from her. I'm not sure if that was her husband or boyfriend, but still, they were obviously a couple, and she was just totally disrespected verbally in our presence right there. He didn't care.
Wow. But we've seen it happen on all sides, right? And mm-hmm. that kind of eludes from the perception that everybody is the same. This one race is the same and another race is all the same. Because I remember a story being at a barbecue, and it was actually a biracial couple, and the wife was a white race, and the guy was a friend of mine, and he was a black guy. And I can't remember exactly what he did. I think he said something out of context that really just must have ticked her off really bad, because she disappeared for a minute, and they had a two-story home. And out of the blue came across the balcony a pillow and a blanket. And I thought, whoa, you know, that just alludes from that perception of all white women will put up with anything. Not true. Not all.
No.
You have, so not true at all. But so there's two different scenarios there as well. So what are your thoughts? I do have some comments in the chat line, so I'm going to check real quick here. The lines are open if you guys have a comment or question and you're listening by phone. Remember, you do have to select the number one in order for me to know that you're out there and you have a comment. I do have Ms. Christina King, who's welcome back with us. She's a new listener for the Butterfly Evolution Show. And she says, as a white woman who grew up without a father in the home, I too am independent. My mother grew up without a father in the home, and she too was independent. It was learning to survive. Interesting. And I like that. It was learning to survive. So maybe we've just learned to survive, because we've already established that the absence of the father figure in the home, which could take it to another whole level of there's not just black males missing out of the home, maybe mm-hmm. more, but there's also white men missing out of the home as well. She also
That's
says,
true.
She says the two shall become one. Your left side of your body relies on the right and vice versa. That reminds me of an article that she wrote. Maybe she'll come on and share it with us. And division of labor is a needed element in every relationship. And that's what you were saying, mm-hmm. Courtney, about how your parents operate. There's an understanding. There's communication. Lastly, she says, no relationship is perfect. I've been married 20 years. It is a give and take, pick and choose your battles. Well said. So, wow, let me check the lines before we go into another phase of it. Okay, we're okay there. Remember, we have a lot of you out there, so and I can't see all of you, so you do have to select the number one in order for us to know here that you do have a question or a comment. And thank you for our chat listeners. You guys always come through online for us, so keep mm-hmm. those questions and comments coming through the chat line. Let's look at a few more of the questions. How are you for time, Courtney?
Oh, I'm fine for now.
Okay. So, Courtney, do you feel, what's your perception, what's your thought process on, do you feel like black women are too independent? Personally, what's your...
Well, when it comes to the relationship process of... Well, when it comes to not knowing when to break away from that certain attitude, and again, like the other person who made a comment said, it was about surviving, which, yes, that was the case in a lot of situations, but I was, more of a trying to direct minds towards relationships. You know, you have to know when to, I guess, kind of break away from the strong, independent attitude when you get married. Because it becomes an issue then.
Right. And that's where you go into talking more about, let's see here, towards the end, holding on to basically that I can do it all myself attitude basically
yes.
destroys family structure. Because if we start to think that, and you really do, there's no other way, nowhere to go besides I don't need this person in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can do without this person in my life. And when you're in a relationship and you start to feel that way, I just really don't see how it can continue to grow and to be a loving, nurturing and fulfilling relationship when you're trying to do life together under that same roof and under those conditions.
Yes, that's true. And that can be true from a man even having that attitude towards a female, you know, it's say if a man may have an attitude of you're only good for the kitchen and the bedroom, you know, which is an old saying of what women are good for, and I don't really need you, you know, I can do this by myself. That will still be an unhealthy attitude to have in a relationship. You know, you're acknowledging, I don't really need you. I can do this by myself.
Right, right. Okay. And let's get to the part where you bring about or talk about more the slavery part of it, how slavery contributed to the widespread of independence or independency. As our chat line, Ms. King noted in the chat line, she is a white female and did not have her father in the home. So that answers our questions about, of course, it's not just black people, but of course, mm-hmm. when we talk about slavery, you and I were talking about the article, The Breaking of the African-American Woman, and we've had that discussion here on the Butterfly Evolution Show some time ago, and we revisited mm-hmm. this year, I believe, when we did Free Yourself, basically. But that whole concept of the breaking, if you've not read that article, The Breaking of an African-American Woman, I really suggest that you go back and read it, because it does make one think about how what played in us getting to this point. It's not just black and white, of course. But mm-hmm. if you think about the way that our men, black males, were basically destroyed in front of their wives, in front of their children, this article talks about how they were pulled out of their, in the middle of the night, pulled out of their sleep, pulled out in the fields, and just basically mm-hmm. humiliated to the point where they couldn't do anything, where their wives were raped, their daughters were raped. So, and it did, the article talks about the reasoning behind it was to place that fear in the woman, in the mother, in the wife, so she will teach her daughters, she will reverse the roles, she would teach her daughters to be more productive or to be more strong out of fear that if her sons or if her husbands were strong and things like that, that he would be killed. So it talks about how even then this was done in order for the roles to be reversed or to start that reversal process. And that's something to think about. I mean, if you really look back and think about how that would make today, how would that make me as a mother feel? If we were in that time and any time, you know, someone could just walk in, grab my husband in front of me, do what he or she wants to do, and my young son as well, right in front of me. And it's okay. It's legal. Basically, nothing will be done. So it talks about the breaking of the African-American woman. But again, as I mentioned early on, I find it very ironic that, you know, the two males that were in my life, they just were so adamant about being independent and never getting to the point where you need a man. And again, now because I'm older, I realize what they were saying, just be able to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. But very ironic that one of those same men come back and say, you are too independent now. Can you just calm it down? I'm like, well, you didn't give me a degree on it. You didn't say how far to go with it and how far not to go. So it's interesting just to be able to talk about it in that aspect. Anything, Courtney?
Oh, yes, I agree with what you were saying.
Okay. We have some more out here in the chat line, so let's see, where did I stop? Okay, this is Christina again, and she's given us a verse, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. I remember this one. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. I really like that part. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Now, that's a hard one to do there. And so she's given us scripture, which is always good to go back to. And if we think about that, it totally just eliminates being independent when you think of mm-hmm. the process of, or thinking in the level of our number three definition, self-supporting, not forced to rely on another for money or support. And I want to remind, you know, if you're thinking about it that way and you do have you're in a meaningful relationship, a marriage, you know, again, what if you lose your job? Then, or what if you are physically hurt and you have to be dependent on a person? That thing, you want to make sure that you're in a relationship where being independent is really out the door, that you both have each other's back,
yes.
good or bad.
It's teamwork.
Right. And that's what our person in the chat line is saying as well. And she said, let's see, I think I read that one. Right, okay. So let me check. And Christina, feel free to call in if you want to. I'd love for you to share. I read a recent, she doesn't really blog, but she does kind of blog. But I read, she emailed me a recent story of hers, and I thought it was very, very interesting. So, Christina, if you'd like to come on and share that with the audience, you're more than welcome to. It's very interesting as it relates to marriage and being a team and how we look at it will really help with this topic because it helps to see or help people to see that you are a team. You can't look at it as I'm in control and I'll do my thing and I'll take care of myself and vice versa. So want to hear from some of the single people. I did get a message on Facebook today from a male about his relationship with his wife, and I don't want to quote him incorrectly, so I'm going to look it up here. Bear with me. Okay, so this person says, I've been married to one for a decade. Doesn't bother me. I like it. And basically, he's saying that he's been married a decade to an independent woman. And my comment back to him was, I think most confident men feel the same, and told him I would love to have him listen in or make a comment. But in saying that, most confident men, most men that are sure of themselves, and it really does depend on how the woman embraces her independence as well. If she continues to allow him to be the man and respects him, maybe that's even more important, but respects him as the male, as or in the position that God designed it to be. And sometimes it's hard to do that if you're looking at what the man can provide or not provide rather than who he is to you. So you can easily get caught up if you start to look at the dollar sign or the six-figure salary or the nice car. And oftentimes women do get caught up in that, particularly when they feel like they're very independent, they have the good job. But again, what are those things if you lose all that? And you're with that man who was attracted to you for that, and vice versa. So that's why it's important to look at it in many ways and just make sure that you're with the person because you love the person and because you want to be in some way and have to be if you're in a relationship dependent upon them.
That is okay? So true. And I also want to bring up another type of action I've witnessed at my job. It's like a bit of a role change as well, in a way. A lot of times in my job, women come in, they would come in with a man, but she would be buying him things, like taking him on a shopping spree. And he's up actually asking and begging for her, you know, like, baby, you'll buy this for me, or you'll do this. And he's promising her things, you know, what he'll do if she does this. And she's blushing and smiling and she'll ring it up or ask, would you like a hat with this? Would you want this, baby? And things like that. And I was just used to the man doing that. And I'm not saying it's wrong for a woman to buy her man something, but if you are taking him on a shopping spree and it's like he's the woman and you're the man, there is a problem.
And yeah. See, when I first read your article, initially, I mean, my answer would be no to this. Too independent? Absolutely not, because the world I see, and maybe this is more of the younger generation, it seems that the young girls, maybe I shouldn't put an age on it, but it seems like women are taking care of men. Like, they don't have to work. It doesn't matter to me. work somewhere, do something. It doesn't have to be the six figure, but I can't go to work and you're not going.
Oh,
even
yeah,
if it's
definitely
the yard across the street, some dollars have to come in. It doesn't have to be the six figures. But I can't get up and go to work and you sit home and nothing's coming mm-hmm. even in the mailbox for you. Something
no.
that we have a problem with that. There is, unless you are sick and cannot go, it would not work. It could not last that way. It would not last that way. But it seems, so when I saw the posting or saw your writing, when it relates to that part with you bringing that up, I thought, wow, no, because it seems as if women are okay with men not working. And most of these younger men, and some older as well, they're okay with not having their own, with not working. They're okay with it.
And I don't understand how that could be, which, you know, goes back to, like I said, this role change. You know, years ago, that's how it was for women. You know, you stay home, you know, tighten up the house or cook, things like that. And I go out and work, and, you know, but now it's like a role change.
Right. We have a caller. I want to check the chat line real quick before. Okay. We have a caller. And caller, I don't know how to pull you in on this one because your last four digits is 11111. Matter of fact, all of your digits are showing up like that. But I'm going to pull you in anyway. So, caller, you're on the air with us.
Yeah, hi, ladies. This is Mr. Solution. Have you guys seen the documentary called Frustrated, what is it? It's Frustrated Black American Men in Brazil. It's a YouTube documentary.
Give us
Have
the
you
name
guys
again.
Seen that?
I've never heard of it, but can you give us the name of it again?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for asking. It's Frustrated, the word Frustrated, colon, and then Black American Men in Brazil.
Hmm.
Yeah, are both you guys married or just one of you?
Neither.
Well, no, I'm engaged
neither are married.
For now.
Okay. Now, you asked the question here, and I think if you review that film, you'll hear it from men's point of view who are speaking with their feet, as it were. And you say, are black women too independent? Well, it's not that they're too independent. No, I'm going to answer that question, no. Because, you know, women, including black women, usually don't ask men for dates. They don't pay for dates. So they're not too independent. That's just a false, that's just a facade. That's not true at all. And what it is a cover-up for being dysfunctional relational-wise, in other words, from a relationship standpoint. And now if you want to talk about that, I'm able to converse with you about this issue, hopefully to consensus as to what needs to be done. Because
I would love to hear you further talk about the dysfunction part. I want to hear more about, you said it's a cover up for the dysfunction. That's interesting. I'd love to hear more about it.
Well, I'm glad you asked in that way. Sure, I'll be happy to share with you. What has happened is there's been a complete communication breakdown. And all you have are grunts and clicks. Men and women have devolved to a reptilian level. That is where they don't speak. It's just utterances. No real communication. They're not talking about anything that's relationship worthy. They're not meeting. There's no model for talking. You know, you have to talk to a person. You don't just hit a person over the head and drag them home and say, you know, me woman, you man, or me man, you woman. And what has happened, all your authors, relationship experts, everybody has avoided discussing the most crucial aspect of a relationship, and that is the introductory stage and the communication that has to occur during the introductory stage. So I would encourage you guys, obviously, to look at this video and look at the way women date. Look at the way you date. How do you behave toward a man? What do you do to make a date happen? Usually nothing, or something that's very dysfunctional or ambiguous. And so that's where a major problem exists. And everybody is scared to address it. They are afraid. And it's just causing, problems to escalate. Do you have a response to that? First of all, do you understand what I'm saying? And secondly, what would be your response to it?
Courtney, would you like to go first, or would you like for me to?
Yeah, you can go first.
I completely understand. I am in agreement with you. I like the way you put it. It's a cover-up for dysfunction. With the communication, you're so on target there. Very few people know much about the person that they have committed to spending their lives with. They've already gone down the aisle. Very few people really, really know who they are with. A lot of that because they really don't care. I think they just, women in some cases, most women, they just want a man. It doesn't matter what kind of man. It doesn't matter. They feel like they can change. The man will change once we get married or once we get into this situation. You know, things will get better and so forth. So, yes, I totally agree, and I love the way you put it with it's a cover-up for dysfunction. Now, I do have another question for you because the video or the YouTube video that you said to go out and look at, how does Brazil play into this? I'm interested to hear about the Brazil part. What does Brazil, am I reading too much into that?
No. You're not reading too much into it. Actually, remember, the solution to any problem is simple. That's why it's the solution. The problem is what's complicated. It's the solution that's simple. So what men are saying on the documentary, and again, I can't quote it all, but I encourage you to look at it. The thing of it is that one, indeed, both partners, both people, potential partners, have to be open to meeting each other, connecting with each other, not running from each other, not saying, you chase me. That doesn't make any sense. So what happens is, and the gist of what the guys say, although it's nicely done, is that the women are socialized to be relationship-oriented. That's the key right there. They're not fighting with the men. It's not a contest. You know, it's not acrimonious and bellicose. The women want to relate to the men, and they make it happen. There's not a woman in America that, if she's considers herself a decent woman, cannot make a relationship happen between her and a good man. And every man that a woman chooses, she chooses him. And usually the most reptilian, dysfunctional men, these are the men that are of greater interest to women. And one of the reasons they are of greater interest is because the women don't see that they have anything to do materially and functionally in starting a relationship and maintaining a relationship. So you guys have seen a referee in a boxing match, how they have to separate the boxers when they get all tied up. So right now, for the most part, men and women are tied up, whether they know it or not. They're mentally tied up. And there needs to be a separation. The average woman, and you guys seem very receptive, and that's the first step. That's good. But just note how the average person, woman, meets a man and what her role is in meeting him, in dating him, in getting to know him. And you will see exactly what I mean. It's not hidden. The dysfunction is like the glaring noonday sun. You just have to ask for the truth. You know, they say ask, seek, and knock. You know, those particular easily doable functions. And, of course, you will get answers. And I'm just, you know, I'm capable of answering any relationship question or referencing or referring, I should say, one to, you know, a professional at a higher level where they can get an answer. It's not like we can't get answers to the dysfunction, to the problems. It's just that, do we want an answer? My question, based on careful observation, would be, in most cases, hell no. We like the confusion. We like the drama. We like the crazy making. And that's why it persists. So, you know, those are some definitive observations. And
okay.
Women are controlling the flow of communication, whether it happens, how much it happens, how often it happens, et cetera, et cetera. And they have drafted a lot of men to lie and be nothing more than cheerleaders for the dysfunction. So you have a lot of men actually behaving as women in terms of this dysfunction and this lack of necessary communication. So
do you feel that women avoid the conversation because they know the answers? Do you feel that women, what's your opinion on that? Do women avoid those needed conversations that people should have, couples should have? Do you feel like women avoid those conversations? And if so, for what reason?
Absolutely, women do. Well, it's a power play. I mean, you know, there are many dysfunctions here, but just most overtly, it's a power play. And a lot of times when you have power over something, you can endure the dysfunction longer. It's like a despot, a dictator. They know that it's corrupt, but because they have the power, they've learned to enjoy the corruption. So women have the power for allowing or disallowing communication. And, of course, women control the flow of communication between men and women. And based on this power curve, and we all allow it, women are just behaving in such a way that communication can't take place. Now, my point to you is the documentary, and if you talk to any quality guys, and you can find them all over, all you've got to do is open your eyes. They will tell you they can't find decent women. Now, another thing I want to do, because I'm an evidentiary type person, I prove what I say. I don't just say it, I prove it. If you guys go to mywebcams.com, let me make sure, because I am a researcher and I just want to, I'm sorry, it's myfreecams.com, all one word, myfreecams.com. If I were in court, I would present this as Exhibit A in terms of female dysfunction, where females are on the, have you guys ever heard of this, first of all?
I have not.
No,
okay, it's
I haven't.
A plethora of single women. Some of them say they're bisexual or they're bi-curious. I actually read their profiles. They're attractive women. I would say anywhere from 7 to 8, 9s, and this is about 70 to 80% of the women. They are attractive women, young women from their 20s. I think they can only be on there if they are of the age of majority. But what's happening is these women are what I call cyber prostituting themselves. They show their body parts and masturbate this is an adult show, correct? Can we
speak
to adult?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, very good. All right, they do all sorts of things on there for little trinkets. They call them tokens. And I understood just by listening to one of the ladies talk, a token is like 5 cents, you know. But and they have a little bell that rings just like in Las Vegas when you win. You know, whoever thought up the website is actually brilliant, and I'm sure they are making a lot of money. But my point to you is this. These are attractive women, the vast majority of them, attractive young women. But no man would take a woman seriously that's showing her coochie. No man of any quality, no matter how good this woman looks, understand me very clearly. But what I'm pointing out to you is there's a tremendous dysfunction in women, and no one is talking about it. Now, if there's a dysfunction with men, we can certainly talk about it. We can accuse the men. We can, you know, we can tongue-lash them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, castigate them, absolutely, because we want people to do better. But what do we do about the dysfunction in women? Usually, not a damn thing. So I'm just giving you evidence, but go to that site, and it is an adult site, but it's what women are doing. They're using webcams in the privacy of their own bedrooms. You guys have heard of those, obviously, webcams, correct?
Yeah, we've heard of those.
And there's, well, I hope I'm not outing anybody. But the point is, these women, and I shared this with one lady. I talk about these issues not as much as I used to. And she said, well, the men are, you know, the men are paying. And I said, dear, the women are choosing the way they relate to the men. These women could be out having good, healthy relationships with healthy men instead of being in their room, in their homes, being attention whores, because that's pejoratively or predominantly what that is, being an attention whore. They're not making that much money at 5 cents a token. So you guys need to.
One of my regular viewers today made a comment that when you talk about being women being independent, that some women will prostitute and then call themselves independent.
Exactly.
One of my recent viewers made that comment today. But listen, we have some more callers. I would love to, would you mind sending me, I want to look at that video, but would you mind emailing me through the Blog Talk your information?
Well, I would not mind. You would probably have to give your email. But look here, that video, like I said, I gave you the name of it, Frustrated:  Black American Men in Brazil. And I would also like for you to go to that website, only so you could see. I love people, period. But I want you to see what women are doing. And what I'm trying to say to you is no man would want a woman who was engaged in that. If he found out that she was engaged in that kind of activity, now tell me if you would blame him. If he said he wouldn't take her seriously, would you blame a man for not finding a woman desirable that prostitutes herself vis-a-vis a webcam on the internet?
No, would not. Would not.
No, so, it's understandable.
The video that you gave us, this is not your video. This is just one you're directing us to. It's not something that you have put together.
No, ma'am.
Okay.
I have no part in
sorry,
it. I enjoyed seeing it, and I think you will enjoy it. It's about an hour, no longer, maybe 45 minutes to an hour. I think you guys, based on what you're doing here, this would be powerful evidence for you to dissect and analyze and then share on your program. So if you recite your email address, and I come on shows, you know, very occasionally, and I'll shoot you an email in return.
Okay, it's 901butterflies@gmail.com. So 901 butterflies.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, I'm listening. 901
butterflies.
Butterfly.
B-U.
Just the way it's spelled, butterfly.
It's plural, butterflies.
Oh yes. Okay, at gmail.com.
At gmail.com. Now, you can also send me an email through the Blog Talk. You can email me straight from the Blog Talk site that you are listening to now. You can email me through there as well, and it'll come straight to my email through the Blog Talk site.
Okay, I'll self-mute and hang out since I've made a connection with you guys, and I'll just hang out in the queue and just
listen to
a few of the responses and see how people are thinking along these, resolving this issue or at least getting toward a resolution.
Thank you. You've had some feedback. We do thank you. Courtney, do you have anything? Did you want to answer any of those questions?
I wanted to ask a question, but I know you said you have some other callers, so I don't know if I have time.
Go ahead. Let's get, if caller, do you have a time to answer a question from Courtney?
Well, you know what? I'll take a moment and answer the question because you guys have been so gracious. Sure, I'll answer her question.
Okay. Earlier, you mentioned the term attention whores, and I mean, I know that that's going on out here. And I want to know, what do you think? Where do you think it started? Do you think it's the social websites or what?
Well, I think with TV, you know, the promotion of bling, raining on females, as it were, we're very heavily influenced by media. But I think the countermanding force to that is our communicating just as we're doing right now. There's nothing more powerful than human communication or human language, I should say. And so what has happened is we have failed to use the most powerful tool we have, and that is just conversing with each other. I almost said conversate, but since that's not a word, I desist from using it. The thing of it is that we need to have person-to-person communication. That will be the elixir, or what I call the antioxidant, to any inappropriate communication that we receive. And sometimes we have to kind of seek people out a little bit, those who would be better, and just talk to them, provide guidance to each other. You know, as we get to be adults, our life gets more complicated. That's why the president has a whole cabinet to advise him, to give him guidance. And all of us have expertise in some area or another that's relevant. So yeah, it's the media influence and the lack of the personal communication touch that has really led to this outrageous communication deficit and social dysfunction that we now see so clearly manifested. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does, and I definitely agree with you about the media playing a big role in this situation.
Absolutely. Well, I'll hang out in the queue and just listen to the rest of you guys' show, okay?
We thank you for your comments.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you. Okay. All right. We're going to pull our caller in, and thank you for being so patient with us. I have 765 with the last four of 1102. You're on the air with us.
Hello, Tammy. It's Christina King.
Hi, Christina. Welcome back. How are you tonight?
I'm great. I hope you all are well, too.
We are. Mm. We are.
Yes, thank you.
Well, I would like to respond to the last caller. First of all, I appreciate everything he said because I do agree we have some communication issues. But to look at all women through the prism of those women online, that is a total misrepresentation because I resemble them. I don't resemble them at all is what I'm trying to say. I believe that there are so many good women out there, and the thing is not just communication, but what do you center your relationship around? What is your center? What is your focus? Is your focus each other, or is your focus the life that's going on around you? I mean, we all have our issues. We all have our problems. And if we let those drag us down, it's going to tear a hole in our relationship. But we have to remain centered on each other. We have to build each other up. We have to, you know, keep that commitment and that love. And for me, the focus is always God. And my husband and I, We do our daily devotionals together. We bring our children in. You have to have a center. You have to have a focus. And you have to know that this is what our family revolves around, and we're not going to let the outside influences tear us apart. And that happens so often these days.
Particularly with the world being so busy and all the social media and the work life, very few couples really get to spend time. I know our last call spoke a lot about communication and having those conversations even before marriage, certainly after the relationship gets serious. So I totally agree with you on that. Courtney, anything from you on that?
And back to what you said earlier, Tammy, about people jumping in relationships, you know, thinking it's going to work out really quick. They jump in these relationships. I think it also comes from the attitude of, I don't want to be alone. you know, it's a lot of people, when I talk to them, I find out it's simply that they don't want to be alone when they jump into these relationships or put up with, you know, this person who's clearly not a good person for them. And also going into relationships, well, a marriage, thinking you'll change them. That is just not going to happen. You know, you cannot change someone. When you marry them, they are the person before you married them. If they change, it's out of a will of their own to change. So,
right. I agree with that.
Christina, would you share some of the article? Do you have that article available that you wrote?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Would you mind sharing it?
Okay. I wrote about marriages because, you know, we so oftentimes forget about our partner. We don't put as much thought into the fact that we are one together. So I'll read what I wrote. Many times in marriages, we tend to forget about our other half, our spouse. We get so caught up in the business of living life that we take care of ourselves and expect that our spouse will do the same. But when we do that, we are literally neglecting half of our flesh. Mark 10:7-9 says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." When we marry, according to God's definition of marriage, we are one flesh. This is not conditional or optional, it just is. And that means we are to care for our spouse as we would care for the other half of our bodies. Let us think of it in terms regarding our actual physical forms. It's a snowy, cold day, and you are preparing to clean the snow and ice off of your car and head into work. You put on the left side of your coat, you put on the left glove and the left part of your hat, you put on your left snow boot, but you leave off the right side's protective garments and walk out the door into the freezing cold temperatures. Your right side is completely unprotected from the elements. Your right ear begins to turn red from the cold. Your fingers are numbing. Your left side is trying to keep your entire body warm due to the neglect of the right side, but is forced to work harder to do so and just cannot do it all on its own. Sometimes marriages become like this. The wife will go about caring for herself and the children, but neglect to care for her mate, thinking he doesn't need her. The husband will worry about the needs that his work presents while forgetting him too. The two are living separately rather than living as one flesh, all the while making the marriage work twice as hard to care for the side that has been neglected. Marriages can often get sidetracked. It is so easy to forget how much a spouse does need our love and affection, or how much our spouse needs our protection, just as the left side of our body needs the same protection as the right.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah. Very
well said. And you wrote that?
Yes, I did.
Yes, I like that. That's nice. You know, you can relate that into an understandable way to people.
Well, you know, I've told Tammy this before. My grandmother is my rock. And, you know, I come from three generations of very independent women. So I understand this completely. My grandmother was married to an abusive man, and she had to make the decision to walk away with three little babies and do it on her own, working three jobs and just trying to figure it out. My mother was single. And then, you know, I had to come up in a world where we just didn't have men around. And like I said, we had to learn to survive. But I found my spouse when I was young. I got married when I was 18. And I had no preconceived notion of what marriage should be. And, you know, he really didn't either. He had a mother and father who divorced when he was younger. So we both came into this relationship having no clue, and I'm sure everybody in the world thought we were going to fail. But we were both very strong and independent, but we made it work together because while we were independent, we depended on each other for that strength. And I think that is so key. They call it codependent now. And maybe that's a bad thing in most terms, but for this marriage, for my marriage, we now have 6 children. We've been married 20 years. You know, for most people, that sounds horrible, but it has worked for us. And, you know, if you ask my 18-year-old daughter, she would tell you that we are a package deal, and where the one goes, the other goes. So, you know, and I think that's what made us stronger, is that we do depend on each other.
I like the independent but dependent upon each other. And that says a lot about how we started the show off explaining and defining the word independent.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people look at where I think it gets to be a dangerous zone is when one person, whether it be the male or the female, feels that, you know, I'm independent, I don't need you, I can make it on my own. There's nothing wrong with being able to do that. However, if you're going to do life with someone and you begin to think that way, I feel personally that it just sets up a road for a disconnect, for a separate
mm-hmm.
lives.
And I would agree with that.
Dependent, but dependent upon each other. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Something I noticed with my mother and my stepfather's relationship is that, she, like I said, she was single the whole time I was growing up. Until I was 17, she finally got married. And her being older when she was married and her husband being older, they both came in with those preconceived notions of independence, of this is how my life has been, this is how your life has been, and they so often would butt heads and try to continue down those separate paths. And even to this day, I still see them struggle with that. And when I say that my husband and I were dependent on each other, we didn't have those paths created for us. We had no clue what we were getting into. And so we kind of cut the path together and made it work for us. We didn't have that struggle of, this is how I lived before you, and this is how I'm going to live now. It was just always, we lived together. And I hope that makes sense. And I know I'm probably not saying it right, but it really is, I believe, our saving grace is that we were one together. We always were just this individual unit of two people that did become one.
Okay, awesome. And Courtney, I think you were getting ready to say something.
Earlier I just said that I agree with her
about
being independent but codependent on each other.
Okay.
Which is the way it should be, you know.
Right. Well, Christina, as always, thank you, and thank you for just being a new part of the Butterfly Evolution and continue to send the writings that you have and continue to come on and share those with us. You've added great information, and for those of you who have come on late, Christina is a white female, so she's added a lot to this conversation because the title is Are Black Women Too Independent? And as you can see, it's not an issue of black and white. And I think once we can get past seeing people based upon their choices, getting past where they come from, just persevering out of whatever it is, because we've all been through something. We've all been through something. It'll take us some time to get there, but thank you for sharing, and thank you for allowing us into your world as well.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I believe, let's check here. I want to check the chat line, and then I'm going to pull. We have another caller in. Okay. And this may be our same caller. I'm pulling back in 1111.
Hmm.
And you may have just reselected, but you're listening.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear
me?
Yes. Hello?
I don't know if you reselected the number one, but you're lit up again.
Yeah, so can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. I couldn't tell. No, look here. I actually like Christina. I agree with what she said. And I would love, I am going to send you an email, and I would love to have a conversation with her such as we're having now. But the thing about her and the thing about most women who are the word is interdependent. That's the appropriate word for a balanced relationship. Two people are interdependent. But at any rate, I think now she's been out of the loop for quite a while, and so has her husband. But I'm sure she made herself available, and she showed herself worthy to be a partner. And I don't know where she picked it up from. I think she said her pedigree was such that she didn't have men in her lineage. But the thing of it is, she still was open to it, and she has melded and associated very well, hence she's been married for the past 20 years. And her daughter will probably follow in her footsteps. But what she may not understand, and I didn't say all women, but a significant group of women who will be seen as unable to find men when that's not the case. They're making themselves unavailable for healthy relationships. Just as we said, the significant amount of women or number of women who participate in this webcam, I'm going to call it cyber prostitution. And, you know, these are the kind of things we need to talk about, is cultivating people so that they will be relationship material. And we're going to have to talk about it. I mean, it's reached a fever pitch now that the dysfunction is just colossal. So if we're going
to work, I agree, because it is reaching our younger girls. I don't know about that aspect, what you're talking about. I've never seen it in that light. However, I do know that a good number of our young girls are really prostituting themselves. And when you get to talking about that level of it, the being independent goes, you know, out the door, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Just takes on a whole other level. But I agree, it is a conversation that needs to be talked about, because the role, the woman, I remember talking to a young man, a nurse actually, at one of the hospitals, and he felt, we kind of got in a disagreement. He felt that women had not changed much from his grandmother. I mean, he felt like women, that was his comment, women were the same. And I said, I would hate to meet your grandmother if you think women have not changed much since your grandmother. Because certainly they have changed to me. When I compare my grandmother to the woman of today, they have certainly changed, certainly.
That's right. Women have changed many, many fold. You're correct in terms of their attitude and outlook. Now, all of it's not bad. I'm not saying it's all bad, but what, in fact, some of it is quite good. But what has happened is we've allowed men and women to miss each other socially, emotionally, psychologically, and so on and so forth. And so I discuss these issues with authors. In fact, I wrote the 7 Principles to Love, Sex, and Dating, and there's 7 results. And I just talk about how to commence the very vital communication. And, of course, we're going to have to talk, and we're going to have to talk about difficult and sensitive things. But until we start having those conversations, there can be no improvement. There will be no improvement, because there's no foundation upon which we may improve. We've got to communicate with each other, and being a mediator, one of the hats that I wear, we've got to look for common ground. And I encourage women all the time to open conversation with men. Invite men to the park where you can talk. Obviously, I guess that's during the day. That goes without saying. We want no one to be in jeopardy, men or women. But I say the perfect date should be a bottle of water, and the perfect first date should be a bottle of water and a walk in the park. And that allows for the two people to get to know each other if that's what they're interested in doing. If they're interested in scamming and scheming off of each other, well, I guess they continue to practice the insanity that is so prevalent. But if they're interested in getting to know each other, goals, hearts, intentions, motives, so on and so forth, they've got to have a conversation. And we just have no model for healthy conversation in the 21st century. What do you think?
I have a question. And I agree with you, but I have a question. Why does it seem that I hear many, many women speaking about this, and you mentioned that there are plenty of good men, and I believe you. I'm with you on that. I feel that there are plenty of good men who want to be in meaningful relationships. It seems that the people that are connecting are the wrong people. It seems that the ones, and I guess that communication would take care of that if we would have it, but what do you feel we can do to get the people that want that relationship in the same place to meeting each other? And I guess it goes back to what you said, you know, maybe women should start, you know, those conversations and have the dates in the park. But how do you think, what would work to have it where those men and women of like-minded men and women would meet each other?
Absolutely. That's an excellent question. Number one, there has to be a promotion based upon prioritization. We've got to prioritize relationships. Relationships are not prioritized. They're treated almost like a byproduct, and that won't work. That's just like anything we find important, we prioritize it. Relationships have to be prioritized. I'll give you an example. A woman will often say she wants a relationship, but yet she keeps herself so busy with this and that. And I often tell women, look, you're doing too damn much. You need to cut out about a third of what you're doing, because what you're really doing is escaping from life in pretending to be busy. So if a woman wants a relationship, she's got to make time for a relationship, because communication is the currency of a healthy relationship. And the reason I direct my seven principles toward women is I look at where the power is, and I go toward the power. You know, there's a joke that was made, and I don't know if I can repeat it properly, but it said out of 10 men, a woman could, a single woman, I'm going to get it straight, a single woman could access virtually any, eight of those 10 men. And the two that she wouldn't be able to access, one would be married and one would be gay. So the thing of it is, women have a tremendous amount of power for orchestrating social communication, which will be absolutely indispensable to finding that common ground. It's like, what do you want? You guys predominate in the churches. You could tell your pastors to start preaching and teaching on these issues. I studied the Bible. I'm doing a relationship show, not a relationship show, but I'm going through the book of Job. It's on the Debbie Daly Show. I encourage you guys to come over and listen to that. It's on Wednesday and Sunday at 8 p.m. It's 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, but we are on for about 3 hours. I donate that time, being the altruistic and philanthropic person that I am. And we go through the book of Job, which deals with all issues that humans are engaged. And it deals with it on a very lofty scale. And it's Job is considered one of the greatest pieces of world literature, not just, you know, literature, but world literature. It's recognized all over the world. So there we get into the communication dynamic and paradigm. But you know, that's the situation. We men love you all. You know, when I study metaphysics, we talk about the different forces of nature, you know, gravity, the strong and weak nuclear force, and electromagnetism. The strongest force in the universe is actually the influence of a woman. And you've heard it said, a nation can rise no higher than the morals of its women. And so that's what we've got to focus on. Why? Because men love women, and men sacrifice, and men will do a lot for women. And a lot of that is appropriate. Some of it is inappropriate when the women are doing bad things and men are sacrificing for them. But we actually like you all. We like you all a lot. And you need to capitalize on that in a healthy way, not an exploitive, abusive way. And so this is why I say women can get the ball rolling. Hey, how are you? I just like to talk to you. Let's go to the park. Let's go on a walking date. You know, they say walking is the exercise of genius. So women can invite men out to a healthy walk. Let's walk and talk. Get to know each other. Coffee shops are great. I don't think men should be buying women dinner on the first date. That just doesn't compute. A lot of women have started scheming and scamming on men, you know, just going from man to man, getting first date meals. And so if you want to get to know a man, talk to him. You've got to converse with him. Go to the coffee shop, meet him at the library. There are many healthy things to do. Juxtaposed to the unhealthy things that are currently, you know, in vogue. And so these are the kind of things that we need to prioritize relationships by doing. And women can take the lead in that. And indeed, women should take the lead in that. You know, in the book of Ruth, you have Ruth propose to Boaz. There's nothing wrong with a woman letting a man know where she stands. And usually men who are up to no good won't stick around if you are a woman shining your light. But if you're darkness, a lot of men really, you know, gravitate toward that. So I put most of the onus on women because that's where most of the power is. Now, would you agree with that? Do you agree that women have most of the power early on and possibly throughout a relationship? Would you agree with that?
This is Tammy, and yes for me. Courtney?
Yes, I agree too.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, this seems like this is orchestrated, and please say I didn't pay you guys to be in agreement with this.
No, I mean, I agree.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Courtney.
Oh, well, I forgot where I heard this, but someone else was basically saying what you're saying. We have the power to change things, like how some young women are interested in men who sag their pants. A lot of women actually like that. And there was this one woman where it was a guy she was talking to, and he did not sag, and she had a problem with that. She asked him, why did you wear your pants up? Why don't you sag? You know, and it's like, I'm saying basically, you know, a lot of guys, they'll do it because they know this is what women want, actually. They're teaching them this, actually. And a lot of women
feel that. And you're right. Men do what works. Now, sex is a big draw for most men, sex and attention. Some men, the attention of a woman is more important than sex. And you made a very revelatory, well, it's an obvious statement, is that, and there's a paper written on this. It's called Love Lessons, Decoding the Desire for the Bad Boy. And it's written by Natasha Burton. And there are more women who like bad guys than most of us are willing to admit. And what a bad guy is, I'll just summarize that for you. It's a guy who really doesn't care. He's more into himself. He's narcissistic. And women like this because women have an ego, believe it or not. And they want to try to change a guy. Instead of choosing a good guy, they pick the junk guy. And then they expect to complain when this guy is being who he is. He cheats on her. He possibly beats her. He just treats her like crap. And you can't underestimate the desire in many women. I'm not saying all, but a significant number of women like drama more than they do a healthy, peaceful relationship with the same type man, a healthy, peaceful man. And we need to tell the truth and shame the damn devil.
Yeah. Could you repeat what you said earlier? Was that Love Lessons and what? What was that?
Yes, I sure shall. It's called Love Lessons, Decoding the Desire for the Bad Boy. And it's by a Miss Natasha Burton.
Okay. And
well, look here, I enjoyed the conversation. I guess I'm going to have to catch you guys in the archives, but I'm going to hang out now. I got to go, work out a little bit. But look here, great conversation, and you guys keep it up, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We do have a caller, but we have just a conversation going on in the chat line, so I'm going to try to get some of this out, and then we're going to work to bring it to a close. We've gotten off a little bit, but I'm so glad it went into this direction, and hopefully we'll come back and do more of this because so many people seem to be, having such difficulty in establishing meaningful relationships. And at the end of the day, most people, not all, but for the most part, most people really want to have a meaningful relationship, someone to do life with, someone that they can depend on. And I think he said interdependent, have an interdependent relationship. But I want to read some of the comments in the chat line. Let's see, where do we start here? I'll start with Christina. She was our previous caller. Basically, I think she was commenting on our last caller, repeat caller. She mentioned that God gave her the desires of her heart. He was, I think, speaking about her being able to find and make love work, have marriage for 20 years, and he didn't know how she was able to do that, not coming from that, and that her daughter would probably do the same. So basically what she's saying is God gave her the desires of her heart. She does still believe that women have not changed since her grandmother. Now, that's interesting. And maybe that just depends on the women that a person knows. That goes back to the gentleman that I had the conversation with in the hospital. Still, I say that we are quite different in some positive and negative ways, but some of the things that women will do today, you just would not hear some of those things back in the day. The lack of self-respect, they just seem to have a lot more respect for themselves and as a role, as the role of being a woman, a mother, a wife, and a daughter, so to speak. So just even the respect they had for their father that could go back to the absence of the father. So there is another, and I don't like to give names unless you say it's okay to me, so there's another person in, he has some interesting things to say, one about the date in the park. Let's see if you're telling me I can use your name. No, okay. So he mentioned about the park, dating in the park. Basically, he said this is not the Andy Griffith Show. I kind of find that amusing. However, you know, it's not the Andy Griffith Show, but we got to get back to some basics, some of the things that work. And if you don't have communication, and I think our caller, what he means by the dating in the park is you have time to communicate. You have time to reflect and talk to each other and learn about one another, outside of all the music, the interruptions, the cell phone, the TV. So that's my understanding. And there's more things that this mm-hmm. caller or this listener in the chat line has said as well. Christina says The Five Love Languages is also a good book. I've read that one. It is a great book. It helps you to learn how to love your mate the way he or she needs to be loved. So, for instance, I remember we did a show on that, I believe. If your mate speaks Spanish and you don't, the communication goes right back to that communication. It's going to be horrible. You're not going to understand one another. Let's mm-hmm. see. Go ahead, Courtney. I'm going to try to get through some of this because there's so much going on in the chat line back and forth. Courtney, did you have anything while I look through the chat line?
Well, he spoke about earlier, he thinks that women really desire drama. And I think some of that is true when you can relate this to our desire for these reality TV shows. Now, I personally don't watch them because I think it's so degrading, you know, to the person. And a lot of it is just ignorance. And again, yeah, drama. And a lot of people, if I go on my news feed on Facebook, it's like a lot of people, they're just talking about that, you know, like I think it's Love for Hip Hop or something like that. It's just, it's always women being shown as clowns, you know, acting crazy, and it's drama, you know. It's just never shown in a positive light. It's always negative.
Yeah. And it's, those are women who, and they, I guess they do see themselves as independent, but, you know, I always look at, if it's something that I would not want my daughter or granddaughter to see me doing, or be able to look when I'm dead and gone and see me on TV doing this and acting this way. Mm-hmm. It's as if they forget, but goes back to the caller one of our listeners that gave me some feedback before the show saying, you know, prostitutes will be okay with being independent, doing what they're doing. And you know, I know people, you do you, I guess, but at the same sense, we are accountable. We are accountable for what we pass on. We really are. And I think we've gotten so far away from thinking that we are, and people are so self-centered and just want to just satisfy self no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's so far from the way it should be. Another comment out of the chat line was talking about the power when our last caller, Pete Caller, mentioned that women have the power the person in the chat line basically says, you know, who's supposed to be head, basically, the male or the female. And I wasn't referring to it in that sense. Women having the power, meaning women can turn it on or turn it off. Women can make or break a relationship, meaning if we set those standards, that was my perception of it. If we set the standard, what we want, what we need, and be communicate very clearly, and if we're getting that, fine. But if we're not, we have the power to shut it down. If the man likes us enough, he'll come along. If he doesn't, hey, then stop it. But a lot of women, I guess, are not doing that.
I agree. That's what I got from it too.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that sense of it. Okay, well, we have another caller, and we have a couple of callers. And Courtney, I don't want to keep you because I know you have school, I believe. So
No, I'm done for the semester. I took my last final Thursday.
Okay, well, we have just 25 more minutes anyway that we can be on. So we have a couple of callers. I am going to, try to get the ones who've been in here the longest. Okay, I am pulling in from 901, and the last four digits is 1907. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Hey, good evening, ladies. How are you all today?
We are good.
Fine, how are you?
Good. This is Anthony Heron with the Eternal Book of Life. I just want to point out a couple of things in the conversation. For starters, this independent thing is a trick of the enemy for you to give up your good thing. The Bible says that a man who finds a wife finds it a good thing and obtains a favor from the Lord. And the trick of the enemy is to get the man to not look for a wife, and however to get, and yet still get the woman to not want a man who does not look like or who does not resemble an alpha male. Now we get into stereotypes. But all this is a trick in the design of Satan to keep confusion about the roles and the relationship's roles have changed because there's a lack of knowledge and there's a lack of understanding. If you go back to the beginning of time, when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, the serpent came to Eve first. He never approached Adam. But he approached Eve, and Eve gave to Adam. Now, Adam was there the whole entire time, but he never approached Adam. He approached Eve. So it's all just a trick to get people to not obtain their blessing from God. That makes sense?
Makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Makes sense a lot. It's just an order for everything. When the word tells us that we should be able, we can go to the word and find a guide and use it for a guide for everything that we go through in our lives. There's a way of escape in that word. It's just that we don't go there. We don't include. It's like our caller Christina said. You know, we have to have a center, and people have gotten so far away from that center. And that's where that is prayer to get back that place or come to that place to where God truly is my center in everything, not just here and there. There's some things I still need to give up, work on, and change and perfect my life. And thank God that I recognize that and I'm progressing, but all of many things that go on today is a trick from the enemy. It's us, too, because we've gotten so far. It's our choices. We've gotten so far from the order of things, the natural order, I'll call it, to a familiar unit, and that familiar family unit, dating unit, mother role, father role, all of that. We've gotten so far away from that, and as a result, this is what we have. We have our teenagers, boys and females, doing things that, boy, we would never think of doing or saying in our day and time. So that, I mean, you're certainly right, and that goes for everything. That's just, that sums it up on
right.
every situation and every topic.
Right. I definitely understand why God said, you know, enjoy the moment that you have right now, because if you get caught up in that moment becomes the past. And as you continue to get caught up in the moment, you know, it helps you to develop and become a better person. But we have searched out for the, what is it I'm trying to say? We've looked for everyone else to validate us. You know, we've looked for the validation of mankind because we can't see God. And, you know, that's why it's important that we keep him first. Daily, because you have to die daily. You have to die every moment that you go through and you come to an obstacle. You're running a race, and, you know, people don't realize that they're running a race. But women do have the power in the relationship, especially, I mean, throughout the whole entire relationship. I mean, it's the man who finds it, but it's the woman who chooses. So, you know, to choose is power in itself. Because it says that you were a choice. I didn't have to choose you, but I did choose you. And nowadays, a lot of people are entering into relationships, and they're just thinking about what they can get out of it. And so it has turned our world upside down. What used to be unacceptable is now becoming acceptable.
Acceptable,
and,
correct.
You know, I don't agree with that. God's word is still God's word. I've come to the realization that this is still a biblical time. It's just more modernized, meaning we don't live in tents. We actually live in houses. But we get all the materials from Mother Earth, you know. So that's the one thing. You know, I think when people get back to remembering that we are into a biblical time and that we have to give an account to God for whatever we do, I think a lot of things will change. Roles will be reestablished. But it takes all of us to seek out God for ourselves. And you can do that daily by going to www.eternalbookoflife.com and, you know, begin to work on yourself. My goal is to live in love every day and just learn from the experiences, you know. So it's a lot of good men out here, but the things that the media are putting out concerning our women and things of that nature is just very degrading, as Courtney stated earlier. And but that is the mindset. This is what's teaching our generations now. You have so-called reality TV shows teaching young men how to be young men when they're really not. They're just showing you how to be a hoish type man. And it's teaching women how to be, you know, prostitute themselves. You know, this the prostitution, we've been prostituting ourselves for years, you know. And it just, all of this is going to come all of this is going to leave when there's a spiritual awakening, when people realize that they have power and that they are God's children.
You know, so appropriate, and I'm gonna get this in, and then I'm going to pull another caller in, but I want to thank you first of all. But this is the person, Anthony, for those of you who heard the show on distractions, but prime example, it's just distractions, a number of things that we allow in our lives. And our person in the chat line made a comment asking why do we blame Satan on things. And my comment to that is Satan does come. The word tells us that Satan comes to destroy, kill, rob us from everything. Yes, we do make a choice. But the word also tells us there's spiritual warfare. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but the spiritual warfare. And that's why it tells us you have to renew your mind. You have to change your thought process. We can't be conformed to the world, to the patterns of this world, but so many of us are. You guys have heard me say on this show, not only are we conformed, we've become addicted. And I say we've become addicted to this world. God is last on our list. So that's why we have women feeling like they have to be independent in the sense where they make a man feel so little. It's nothing wrong with being independent. You should be able to take care of yourself. And if you need to be your husband or your mate as well, if that means if your mate gets sick, I'd like to think if my husband got sick and couldn't, and if I needed to go work two jobs to take care of things, then I'd like to think that that's what I need to do. Because I am independent for my family. I'm independent, but also dependent on that person and vice versa. So thank you. And again, we did the show. This is the person who did the show on distractions, and his website is eternalbookoflife.com. All one word, eternalbookoflife.com. You can Google it, and it will be the first thing to pop up. So thank you, Anthony. I want to take another caller, but thank you for coming in and sharing your thoughts.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We have another caller pulling in from the 901 area code with the last four of 8714. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Hello, everybody. I just wanted to just quickly make a statement about the independence, you know, and really as I look more into nature and as I look at situations around me just on daily life, there's really no such thing, and I could be wrong on this, but according to the universe, and we're living on a planet and all of this, and we're connected with each other based on, you know, how we think, and based on how we think, we do certain actions, and that can not only affect the individual but people around them. But I was wanting to say that it doesn't seem to be a such thing as a fully independent organism or person, because we all are dependent on each other in some form or fashion, and we are even dependent upon the bodies or the vessels that we dwell in on this plane or right now. And I mean, we live in a unnatural culture or unnatural society. And what I mean by unnatural, like natural just really means from the base root of it, it's like origin or birth, the essence of something. And it seems as if, based on what we've talked about so far, it seems as if we're having this yearning to do things that's more natural, on a universal realm, things that's going to make us not only feel better, but to treat each other better and really living in love, basically. And so, you know, if you have independence and you have dependence, and it must be a balance. I mean, that's, you know, dealing with the yin and yang and these other symbols that's around us. It's always got to be a balance. And whenever there's an imbalance, of course, negative things going to happen. Like a lot of women like the sagging pants. Well, the purpose of a pants is to clothe you, and especially if you have to run or do something swiftly, you don't want your pants to fall down. You can trip and hurt yourself. So, I mean, and that's natural, you know. I mean, it's natural for your pants to be up and so forth, but we have become a society of liking and loving things that are unnatural for us, not only unnatural for us in a way, but it's detrimental to us, mentally, physically, spiritually, and so forth. So I just wanted to make a statement that that we must have a balance of dependence and independence, but also to be more natural. And this one other thing real quick is that I'm seeing how nature can be manipulated in a sense, to where like the women, like Mr. Solution, the first caller who has spoken, he was saying about there's no healthy communication, there's no communication, or not much communication at all. And that's one of those laws, I per se, that it's like nature has been manipulated. And since that does carry on of lack of communication, now we have all these negative things that are happening. So, I mean, yes, you know, it's up to the women, you know, since they have the power of communication to bring nature back to course. And, of course, the men, you know, we have to do our part, too, as well. I'm not going to root us out. We have our part as well. But women, I mean, women really, or females really do have the power. And if women really think about it, talking about this power, you notice how anything that's dealing with nature is usually dealing with a female, like Mother Earth, Mother Nature, Mothership. Any type of hurricane that happens is usually a female. The lion and the lioness. The lioness is the one that usually hunts and so forth, you know, and so forth and so on. So, I mean, women really universally cosmically really have power when it comes to certain things. And I think that's been taken for granted, or in, since we're living in a patriarch society, it has not only been taken for granted, but it's been looked down, women have been looked down on, and because women have been looked down upon, women, I guess, they have this sense of they're going to lash back, I'm going to become more independent because my father wasn't there, and all these other things, and I'm trying to really understand, understand, and overstand females and women as to why they do certain things, and I mean, and I try to do that with everything, but yeah, I mean, I support women. I try to support women, especially with the sexism, living in a patriarch society, and us men, we've messed up a lot too on how we treat women and so forth. But yeah, it has to be a balance between dependence and independence, and we all rely on each other some form, way, or shape. So that's all I have to say.
I agree. And just to put more emphasis on the power as you were talking, you know, women, we create life. We have life. We carry, yeah. I mean, I'm so amazed just by the fact of, as I was when I was carrying Brandon, and just the amazement of knowing you have life within you that you birth. You carry with you around what you do. This little body does what you eat. This little body eats inside you. So when you think about and you talk about power, no matter how we end up getting to do all that is irrelevant. But we carry life. You know, we go through a process on a monthly basis that men don't know anything about, and we still live through it. So there is power. We just have to get back to that worth. We had the program on women knowing their self-worth, women knowing their value. We can change it. We can change a lot of the things that are going on in this world when it comes to being, whether it's independent, dependent, anything else as it concerns relationships. So I totally agree. Courtney, you get in on this one.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said you get in on this when you're quiet.
No, I do agree with I do agree with what the caller said. So much of it. And I kind of wanted to ask for suggestions of maybe solutions, you know, for women in this type of situation, in like a support group or something. Kind of like what you do with butterfly evolutions, but I know that's with girls. More for women.
It's funny that you mentioned that because one of the young ladies that is a part of the group, her mom was going to be working with the parents, with the mothers of the group. So we do need something like that in Memphis where women begin to unite more and talk positively, not to talk badly or talk down about each other, and especially not men, because as we've stated tonight and as we all know, there are some good men out in this world. Mm-hmm. Talked about the good men or good guys finish last on this show as well, because there are men out there that feel as though they are passed by. You know, we go Right. We go for that. I think our caller said that as well, but we choose the bad guys. We don't want the ones who's going to be there for us, support us. You know, we got to be part of that life. So you're exactly right. I think I read another posting of yours, Courtney, where you said you basically, you're thankful that you did not pass up a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be able to see that.
I am. I met my fiancé in high school, and we started out as friends. And now we're engaged and set to get married in August. Now, I don't know, everyone is different when it comes to their relationship. I would suggest if person could get to know their potential mate, you know, take time, get to know that person, you know, as a friend, or as the other caller mentioned, you know, taking walks on a park or things like that. I understand what he was saying, you know, because unfortunately some women do, you know, go after men for those type of benefits and, you know, that alone and never intend to call the guy again. And it going out that way will kind of show, you know, I'm interested in getting to know you for you, you know, first, one-on-one. Maybe, you know, around a second date you can go a step further with something like a dinner date or movie date. And also, when a lot of people say there aren't any good women or good men out here, I'd like to ask them, where are you going to meet these men and women? I find a lot of people who say that, they are normally the club-hopping type of people. They go to clubs a lot and these types of parties. Typically, you're not going to find the man or woman of your dreams in a club, you know, that type of social gathering. I mean, you know, that's just a place to go. Well, most people go to have a good time or something like that. But that's not typically where you would meet the person, you know. And if that's where you go and you say there are no good women or good men out here, then that's just not accurate. You're not going to the right place. Not necessarily that there is a right place, but that is certainly not the place.
And that's a good question. And I'd like for I know we're about to run out of time, and to think that I was hoping this would be an hour show, but the good thing, and we've kept it going, but I'd like to come back and maybe talk about solutions to this, because you're right, where are we going? And as I ask the question, why is it that the wrong people are connecting? I also want to put out there that so often I think we go into these relationships because of what we see and what is the norm. Nothing lasts. Love doesn't work. Love doesn't last. There's no one serious. No one wants to put in the work that is needed, because it is work. You have to work at it. That I think people go into it thinking, especially women, you know, yeah, I have to be independent because this is not going to last. They may not verbalize it, but subconsciously they're thinking, you know, marriage doesn't last, relationship doesn't last, and they're always looking for something bad or something negative to happen, or looking for the worst. So maybe
and that's
there's
true.
Not much, right? There's not much effort going into it. I don't think people really give all of who they are.
No, they don't.
Right. If you're holding back, then how is the person, male or female, how do you expect them to give you their all as well? Because people can feel when you are holding back. So this is not.
And a lot of times people go in, well, I'm just saying, a lot of times people go into relationships for the wrong reasons, you know, especially marriage. Like some men, they flash money. Like, once again, in my job, his purchase is like $22.84. He flips through hundreds, 20s, 10s, 5s. Your purchase is just $22. Why do you have to pull out a wad of money? That's their way of trying to reel you in. That is the bait you're using, money, to get a woman. And you know, that's not a healthy way either, because that's what got her there. That's what attracted her to you. And you get upset and go, well, you just want me for my money. Well, that's what you use to get her there. And
right.
That is, you know, that's a bad thing there.
And vice versa. You know, we have some things that women use as well, and then
mm-hmm.
you wonder.
Oh, yeah. Our bodies.
So
you know.
We really need to start being, just doing some self-awareness, self-check.
Mm-hmm.
Just check yourself and see where you are. What do you have to give to a relationship? What are you giving? Are you giving all of yourself? Are you using your independence as, a rope around your mate's neck, whether it's a male or female? You know, if you're the male and feeling that way, and if you're a female, for the sake of the show, that's what we're talking about, the independence of females. So are you using that as, you know, as a rope around that person's neck? Is it allowing you to lose your self-respect for your husband or the person that you're in a relationship with? So it's about self-awareness and knowing who you are, communicating who you are wholeheartedly. And then if it ends, it ends. At least you've given it your all. So think about that, and we'll come on and call her. Thank you for your comments. I know we just kind of left you hanging out there, but as always, thank you for calling and being a part of the Butterfly Evolution Show. We've had some great, great discussions, and I want to say to our Mr. Michael in that line, I was hoping that you would call in. I really liked your ending comment, true beauty never fades. And that's true. If you're talking about that inner beauty, it really does never fade. So when we do this show again, I challenge Mr. Michael to come in, because he said he's just kept the conversation going in the chat line. so much so I got lost on where to start. So I'm going to hold on to the comments and hopefully read them during our next show. But I would hope that Mr. Michael would come back and share some of the things that he said in the chat line, because I think they make great discussion. And thanks to Christine and all the others. Some of you were quiet in the chat line. Thank you. And thanks to you all who just hung in here with us the entire time. Special thanks to Courtney for being a guest, and hopefully she'll come back on when we sum all this up to get a solution, and maybe we can work to start something together here in Memphis. So for those of you who are in Memphis, women, men, you know, connect. I used to have a group where it was men and women where we got together and discussed things like this together here at my house, questions, you know, just have fun. So maybe that's something that we should start doing again and talking about relationships and recording them and making some documentaries that we can put out there to bring some positiveness back into relationships. And being independent is not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. It's just how you portray it. It's how you give it out. Any last words, Courtney?
Well, I definitely agree with everything you said. I know we don't have a lot of time, so I'll kind of sum it up. I definitely enjoyed being on the show. It was a very fun, new experience for me, and I look forward to coming on the next show and we can talk about the solutions and other past comments, topics that we kind of brought up on this show.
Right. There were so many, so I'll definitely be going back listening to this one, making some notes so that we can kind of sum it all up. And for those of you listening, send your comments, send your questions. If you don't want to come on and talk, you can always send them to me privately, and I'll do my best to get them out there and get them on, as some of you do anyway. But please share them, please send them, and just continue to share with your friends, families, that Butterfly Evolution is on every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. I want to remind everybody that I have a very special guest coming on June 3rd, and I'm going to put some information out there about it, but it's Kenny Pugh, and if you have not heard of him, Google him, and you'll find out. But I'm going to be posting some information on that show as well. So that is June 3rd. And if you have suggestions for topics, please do send me those as well. We want to talk about those things that you are going through or that someone else is going through, because that's how we heal, that's how we learn, that's how we grow, that's how we get over and get through these things so that we can be who we really are and get out of life what we really should be getting. So continue to listen. I thank you all for just making Butterfly Evolution a part of your life every Monday night, and I look forward to having you back here next Monday, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Courtney, thank you. To our last caller, Cody, thank you as always, and we will see you back here next Monday, same time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.